We have a lot of bitter things in life, don't we? And thankfulness is the sweetness of life. Really, Jesus is the sweetness of life. But when we thank God for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, we experience the sweetness of God, and He blesses us. And that's why thankfulness is so important. We need to be thankful people. And we're in the thankful season, and sometimes thankfulness is not easy, and we're going to talk about this later. Thankfulness doesn't come natural to us. We kind of have to learn to be thankful. In fact, we're generally in the habit of not being thankful and taking things and people for granted. And so, as we think about this whole subject of thankfulness, I want to ask everyone here this morning, are you a thankful person? Do you consistently thank God for the things that come your way? We're going to talk about thankfulness this morning, and this morning I'm going to do something that really I very rarely do. We're going to have a topical study this morning. Usually we have a passage of Scripture, and we're going to go through the passage verse by verse and talk about it. But this morning we're not going to do that. We're going to just take a topic and talk about this topic, and I'm just going to share some things from my own experiences and from the experience of others and some other people that I've learned from. And we're just going to talk about this whole subject of thankfulness. Because we're surrounded and almost really inundated by things and people to be thankful for. And so I just want to ask you, are you thankful for the people in your life? It's easy to take things and people for granted, but great things happen when we're thankful. Our attitude moves in a positive direction when we're thankful. People will like you if you're thankful. People will listen to you. People will enjoy being around you if you're thankful. When we say thank you to someone, it's like saying, I appreciate you. And we should remember that God delights in gratitude. To say thank you to God is the same as saying, I trust you, Lord. He will bless you. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, which is trust, right? Without trust, it's impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. To say thank you to God is to praise Him for His sovereignty and rule over your life. To say thank you to God is to affirm the truth that all things come directly from Him or are allowed by Him to accomplish His purpose in your life. But we have a problem. Gratitude does not come naturally to us. We need help. And the reason we need help is because we're not thankful by nature. If you have to learn it, it's not a part of your nature. Anything you have to be taught, anything you have to be taught to do is not a part of your nature. And anything you do without being taught, now that's a part of your nature. So let me give you a few examples. It's a bird's nature to fly. You know, when the mother really doesn't have to teach her chick how to fly, she just kicks him out of the nest, right? And he plunges down and just starts flapping his wings and takes off. He doesn't need flying lessons. It's not in a human baby's nature to fly. If you were to drop a baby off the top of a tree, it wouldn't fly, it would die. You can throw a duck in the water and it'll swim. If you throw an infant in deep water, it'll drown. But an infant can be taught to swim, even though it's not a part of its nature. Anything you have to be taught to do is not a part of your nature. Things that come naturally are a part of your nature. That is why we say that by nature, man is a sinner. He doesn't have to be taught to sin. Sin comes naturally. Every child is naturally selfish. Now, it is the natural thing to be ungrateful, but it is the unnatural thing to be grateful, to be thankful. No child was ever born with gratitude in his heart. Most children are born with their fists clenched as if to say, mine, right? They have to be taught to say thank you. And sometimes it takes a lot of repetition to get the lesson over. A few weeks ago, you know, we had a table at the Trunk or Treat event here in Pine Mountain Club. And there wasn't a kid who came to our table and received candy who said thank you. Except for the ones whose parents told them to say thank you. Angela might have been an exception to that. She came here. She's well trained. And, you know, I said, now, honey, say thank you. And the little kid, you know, his eyes drop. Say thank you. If you don't say thank you have to give it back. Thank you. He said thank you, but there was no gratefulness in his heart. He took the candy and ran. So he just said it because he was made to say it. He wasn't born with gratitude. With any child, you have to repeat it over and over and over again until he finally learns to say those two magic words, right? Thank you. I read a story about a lady who gave a little boy a piece of cake, and the little boy looked up and said, thank you, ma'am. And the lady said, I just love it when little boys say thank you. And he said, if you put some ice cream on top, I'll say thank you again. See, he learned. Some may say it for its reward, but it's not a part of our nature to be thankful. During World War II, my father was a combat soldier in the Big Red One. And the Big Red One was 1st Army Division. And he got married just before he left. And it was Samuel Fuller, the writer, director, and filmmaker, who said, the glory of war is to survive. And that's what my dad wanted to do. He just wanted to survive and get back to his wife. And in those days, you know, you didn't go on a tour of duty. You left, and you didn't come back until the war was over or you were dead. And he was in combat for over 2 years. And he got some breaks, and of course, you know, they rotate the soldiers, especially those on the front line. And he first went to North Africa, and after they ran the Nazis out of North Africa, he got a break, he got on a ship, and they went to Sicily. And then they invaded Sicily, and after they ran the Nazis out of Sicily, they had a break and boarded ships and went to London, had a great break in London, before they landed in the Normandy beaches and invaded France and ran the Nazis out of France. There was a soldier in the 3rd Army, that would be the 3rd Infantry Division, and it was commanded by General Patton. And this particular soldier got the opportunity, he went to rest camp after a period of active service, and this was, again, during World War II, and when he returned, he wrote a letter to General Patton, thanking him for the splendid care he received. General Patton actually wrote him back and told the soldier that for 35 years he had sought to give all comfort and convenience that he could to his men, and added that this was the first letter of thanks that he received in all his years in the Army. It's just a little indication of our ungrateful nature, but we ought to be thankful. So here's how to have a thankful heart. First of all, recognize where things come from. A man can never be genuinely thankful until he recognizes where the things he possesses come from. You don't thank someone for something unless you know he's responsible for your having it. About a month ago, my daughter and son-in-law gave us a toaster oven. We had a toaster and, you know, we'd had it for many years, and it just, you know, you put the toast in and you had to stay there and look, watch it. Linda said, Rick, could you bring some to the table? No, I'm watching the toast. They gave us this new toaster oven. And you just put the toast in there and hit the button and you can walk away. It makes perfect toast every time. And every time I have a piece of toast, which is almost every morning, I think of my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law. That's a blessing to us. And we're so glad to have that. So James chapter 1, verse 17 says this. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. When you realize that everything you have comes from God, then you should feel a real gratitude in your heart to God. I cultivated a grateful heart when I was 11 years old and joined the Boy Scouts. Back in the 60s, we Boy Scouts often went camping in the wilderness. We didn't go to fancy campgrounds. We would go out in the, you know, in nowhere land. And we would bring our water canteens, but when that ran out, we got our water from the creek. And of course, we had to boil it. And there was no bathrooms. We would find this secluded place and dig a trench. That was our bathroom. And take a shower? No. Sometimes we'd jump in the creek if it was summertime. They taught us how to, you know, make a bucket and put some holes in the bucket, and you hang the bucket from, you know, a tree, and you put water in the bucket and you stand under it and you could take a 1 minute shower. Boy Scout camp was a little better. You know, it lasted a week, and we slept in tents and we had cots. But still, you had to go around the tent and up a big hill to the outhouse. And you know what an outhouse is, right? It's just a big hole in the ground with a toilet on top. And boy, did it stink in that place. I had a lot of fun. You know, I got the canoeing merit badge, the rowing merit badge, the archery merit badge, the rifle merit badge, the life-saving merit badge. And, you know, we had a blast. But, you know, when I came home, I realized that I lived in luxury. There was a bathroom right across the hall from my room. And I could take a shower and let it run as long as I wanted. Now, this is Georgia. It rains a lot in Georgia. So you can let the water run as long as you want. I realized I lived in luxury. And I would get home and I would think about some of those trips that I'd been on. I remember one time we went hiking through the Appalachian Mountains. And so everything we needed for that entire week was on our back. And so, you know, you travel light. And so when we camped, we would, you know, same thing, build our own bathroom, and we'd set up a tarp. We didn't have tents. We had tarps. And then it started to rain, I remember, one night. And every mosquito from 5 miles around gathered under our tarp. And I covered my, you know, I had things over my head. And I just had my nose sticking out. And sure enough, I had mosquito bites all over my nose when I woke up in the morning. I was so glad to get home, and we had screens on our door in our home, and I could relax in my home without, you know, mosquitoes buzzing around me. We live in luxury, and oftentimes we don't realize how blessed we are. 60% of the people in the world don't have a toilet or running water in their home. 60% of the world's population. According to the American Community Survey data from the Census Bureau, 522,752 United States households lacked complete plumbing access in 2021. Of these households, 347,943 didn't have a bath or a shower. 419,971 lacked hot or cold running water, and 246,884 had neither. That's here in the United States. I didn't know the conditions of other people, but I knew this. I was blessed, and I was grateful. I learned that when I was 11 years old. Today we have more than we've ever had. That's certainly true for Linda and I. We have more than we've ever had, more than we deserve and more than we need. God has blessed us tremendously. If you come to our home, we live in a beautiful home, and it was a gift from the Lord. Everything in our living room and dining room was given to us, except for 2 tables and 3 lamps. The most wicked, sinful person is one who thinks he's a self-made individual and fails to recognize that every good thing and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Any one of us could have been born in the muddy squalor of Bangladesh. When we lived in Pasadena, we went on a missions trip to Mexico. We're so blessed, and we should never forget it. We were in Mexico, and we were helping some Christians there build a church. And, you know, I'm not a builder, but, I told them I could hammer a nail in a piece of wood, so they let me come. And we kind of stayed in motorhomes. And the people, the Christians there were just so glad to have a roof on their church. And these Christians that we hung out with there in Mexico, they were some of the happiest people I've ever known. They were content. Their focus was on Christ. And I remember standing on the hill where this church was, and we were finishing the roof. And we looked out, and over there was a big garbage dump. And there were kids going through the garbage trying to find food. We could see little huts on the edge, and there were cardboard boxes, and that's where those kids lived. We are so blessed. We should never forget God's blessings. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." So another way that we can live thankful lives is not to forget God's benefits. All the things that we enjoy are benefits received from God. If you're really to be grateful in your heart, then there must be a thorough understanding of where things come from. My salvation is from the Lord. I owe my existence to the Lord. He holds a twofold right of ownership over me. The right of creation. He created me and gave me the breath of life. My heart beats at his command. And he could stop at any time he wants. Secondly, he has the right of redemption. He bought me with his own blood at Calvary. Everything I have is from him. Everything I don't have, listen, everything I have is from the Lord. Everything I don't have is being withheld by him for his good purpose. Here's the blessed truth. All you have and all you are because of God. A man came into the post office with some big, beautiful tomatoes, and the mail clerk asked him, "Where'd you get those beautiful tomatoes?" And he says, "I raised him." And the clerk said, "Really? You raised him?" He says, "Well, I know God did it. But you should have seen my garden before I helped God with the weeds." There was a man who had a terrible gambling habit. His finances were ruined. His life was going down the tubes. His marriage was falling apart. And then he came to Christ. And by God's grace, he quit gambling. And his marriage was healed and restored. And sometime later, some of his buddies came by. And they said, "Hey, let's play cards." And he knew what they meant. They wanted to go gamble. And he says, "I don't play cards anymore." He says, "Why not?" And he says, "I just can't play anymore." He says, "Well, do you have a problem?" He says, "Yeah, I have a problem. I don't have any hands." And they look down, and they said, "Yes, you do. You've got two hands. There they are, right there." And he says, "Whose hands do you think they are?" He says, "They're not my hands. They're God's hands. I can't play anymore." You know, when I think of where I was and where God has brought me, I just marvel. I was not a good student in school. I don't know how I made it through high school. I never could have gotten into college if I didn't play a musical instrument fairly well. I got a scholarship. And I know that one of the professors went and talked to the dean and got me in. But during that time, God changed my heart. And of course, it makes a big difference when you start paying for your own classes. You start working and studying harder. And I had to pay for my way through college with the help of scholarships. But there was one year when the last semester before I graduated, I didn't have enough to pay for that last semester, and I thought, you know, I really would like to graduate this semester. And the scholarship had come to an end. I was one of those guys who crammed 4 years of college into 5 years, and so my scholarship had kind of run out. And so at any rate, I remember praying and said, "Lord, I really like to graduate this year, and I know that you can provide. And so I'm just going to trust you to provide. And Lord, if you make a way for me to pay for this last semester, I'll never doubt you again, and I'll trust you for the rest of my life." And so one day I was walking from the Student Union back to the music building, and I had already gone in and applied for scholarships, and they said, "Sorry, all scholarships are gone." So anyway, I was walking down the hall, and I happened to walk by that same office where I had gone in and talked to one of the counselors about a scholarship. And the guy I talked to was standing out in the hall, and he said, "Hey, you, come over here." And I came over, and he says, "You know, something's happened, but just 2 weeks ago, a donor gave a large gift to the university, and now we have enough to fund your last semester. Why don't you come into my office?" We went in the office, took care of the whole thing in 5 minutes. God blessed and took care of that last semester. Now, may I never get to the place where I don't have a genuine gratitude in my heart. The basis of thanksgiving is a recognition that everything comes from God. He gave me all that I have. Now, for what should I be thankful? Well, we heard it read this morning. We're to be thankful for all things. And so now we heard it read, but let's take a look at it. If you have your Bible, open to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And you'll find this on page 1056 in the Rack Bible. Page 1056. Ephesians 5:20. And here's what Ephesians 5:20 says. Well, let's back up to verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I think it's pretty interesting, don't you? We've talked about this before, but it's been a while, so let's talk about it again. That God compares getting drunk to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that? Well, that's because, you know, maybe you've never experienced this. I actually have not. But I'm told, and I've watched and observed, that if somebody just drinks enough alcohol, that the alcohol will begin to affect the way they speak and the way they walk and the way they act. And in the same way, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit will begin to affect the way we talk and the way we walk and the way we act. And so all you have to do is receive it. And then it says, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the result will be, verse 19, "speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So if you're filled with the Spirit, instead of cursing, you're going to praise God. Instead of griping, you're going to thank God. And then verse 20, it says, and this is a command, notice, "always giving thanks for all things." So what are we supposed to give thanks for? All things. Now, the word Greek, the word all, you know what that means in the Greek? It means all. We're to give thanks for all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So, always giving thanks for all things. That's a big order, isn't it? He said to give thanks for all things. Even the bad things in life. So we're to thank God for both the good and the painful. It's easy to thank God when you get a new home. It's easy to thank God when you get a new car. It's easy to give thanks when you get a promotion and a raise and a salary. It's easy to give thanks when you have good health. But what about when that new car breaks down? What about when your health breaks? What about when you're put in the ambulance and taken to the hospital and the doctor says, "I have sad news for you. You only have 8 weeks to live." Can you still thank God? Or do you get mad and bitter? A man invited a friend to go hear a preacher, and he told him, "I want you to come hear the most thankful preacher I've ever heard." So they got together, they got in the car, and it started to pour down raining. The men drove through a terrible storm to hear this guy preach. On the way, they thought nobody would be there. They even thought the preacher wouldn't be there. Well, they were pretty much right. There was nobody there except the preacher. He was there. And so there was just the preacher and these two guys. And the stranger said to his friend, "He has nobody to preach to. There's a storm outside. It looks like we're going to have a flood. He won't have anything to be thankful for tonight. And his buddy said, yes, he will. He'll thank God for something. So when the preacher got up, he bowed his head and prayed, "Dear Lord, it's stormy outside. It looks as if the roads will wash away before we get out of church tonight. It's an awful storm, but we're thankful that it's not always like this. Thank you for these two precious souls that you've brought here tonight. Thank you that the roof doesn't leak." And then he said amen and he preached his heart out. It helps us to thank God for all things. And when we put it together with Romans 8:28, if you don't know what Romans 8:28, you should memorize this verse. Here's what it says. And we know that God causes all things. There's that phrase again. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You know, only God can do that. Only God can take bad things and work them out for good. That's why it's so important that we keep our eyes on Christ and follow Him. And I want you to notice that there's that command and a promise. The command is give thanks for all things. The promise is we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. So I want you to know that that promise is conditional. That promise is not for everyone. It's only for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. So make sure you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. And of course, His purpose is to honor Him and to serve Him and to please Him. I've lived long enough to see that some of the things I thought were bad were the best things that ever happened to me. I'm sure that if I stopped and asked a number of people to tell stories about their life, you know, they would tell us some wonderful stories. We kind of already heard one this morning from Kim. I remember back in 1979, I was working with a Christian organization. Linda and I were married. Linda was pregnant with our first child. We were on the East Coast. And the authorities over us told us, "You got to move to California." And we thought, California? That place is crazy. There's nothing but fruits and nuts in California. And both our grandparents were on the East Coast. And one of our grandparents was saying, "You're going to take our only grandson to the other side of the country?" We did not want to go. I wrote a letter, a long letter, to the director over me, explaining to him why we shouldn't go. He didn't change his mind. We had to move. And Scripture says we're to obey the authorities over us, so we did. We came to California. And I can tell you that, you know, all of our kids were born here. We're still here. God has blessed us here. Matthew Henry, the famous Bible expositor, and he's written this commentary. George Whitefield, the famous evangelist, said he doesn't preach a sermon on any sermon passage unless he first reads Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry lived in 1662. That's when he was born. And he died in 1714. But one day, Matthew Henry was accosted and robbed. And they took his wallet. And here's what Matthew Henry wrote in his diary. He said, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." There's always something to be thankful for. Whenever you're having trouble thanking God, remember the command and the promise. The command, be thankful for all things. The promise, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. If you don't love God and you're not called according to His purpose, you're on your own. You have no hope that anything will turn out good. Now here's a few practical principles. How to abound in thankfulness. You can abound in thankfulness in any situation. I like a person who's thankful, don't you? I don't like a complainer. How are you getting along? Oh, I'm getting along in spite of the aches and pains that I have. Dr. Tom Malone, he was a preacher up in Michigan in the city of Pontiac. And one time he asked a fellow, how are you getting along? And his reply was, pretty good under the circumstances. And Dr. Malone says, under the circumstances, what are you doing under that? We're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Now, I'm not saying that we can't be sad. You know, the Scripture tells us there's a time to be sad and a time to grieve. And even the Holy Spirit grieves. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit grieves over our sin. But we can abound in thanksgiving. And here's how. By T-H-I-N-K-I-N-G. By thinking. I'm told that in the old Anglo-Saxon language, the word thankfulness means thankfulness. And the more you think, the more thankful you will be. So people who are not thankful don't think very much. First of all, they don't think of the command that I've already told you, be thankful. They don't think about the promise, all things work together for good. Secondly, they don't think of the wonderful promise that God has, that He's the only one that can cause any situation and work it out for good. Thirdly, they don't think about the things God tells us to think about. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things. If we just listen to God and think on the things that He tells us to think on, we'll have grateful hearts. My wife and I often give thanks for our kids. We're so thankful to have each one of them. You know, a farmer walked up to a pastor and said, our son was killed in the war and we'd like to give $200 as a memorial. Another man was standing by and he heard that man say that and he had a strong and healthy son who had served in the same war and came back without a scratch. And so he said to his wife, honey, write a check for $500. And his wife said, why? Our son wasn't killed in the war. He's here this morning, strong and healthy. And his husband said, yeah, that's just the point. He's here, strong and healthy, without a scratch. Thinking, that's the way to be thankful. I think of the families where they curse and fight each other, where windows are knocked out because somebody threw a bottle at somebody in the family, it crashed through the window. Siblings who never talk to each other. Siblings who sue one another. Kids who sue their parents. Parents who sue their kids. Every night and often through the day, I thank God for my wife, Linda. I know the Lord searched the entire world and picked out the most perfect person for me. She's a wonderful pastor's wife. She studies the Word of God every day. She's an encourager. She's a prayer. She prays for our kids. She prays for me. She helps me. Oftentimes I sit and counsel with married couples. Couples that are talking about divorce. I don't like those kind of counseling sessions. And you know what? I see the same thing almost every time. I hear the story. The couple gets married, they're excited. Then life goes on. Then life gets hard. They get busy. They start taking one another for granted. Then they start getting critical. Then they start getting impatient. Then they start getting resentful. Then they start drifting away from each other. It all started with not being thankful, with taking one another for granted. Every day I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my friends. I thank God for the people who serve in this church. We're a little church, but we're doing great things for God and God's kingdom. I mean, just look at these boxes here. There's 104 boxes right there. And they're going to go to some remote places of the world and be a blessing to kids who have nothing. We're a little church, but we support 5 missionaries and 2 mission organizations. God is using this little church to do great things for God's kingdom. I heard of a fellow who wanted to get rid of his house. So he called up a real estate agent and said, look, I want to put my house on the market. I want to get rid of this as quickly as I can. I'm tired of living in this whole place. So the agent said, okay, let me come and look at your house. So the agent came over and he walked through the house and he says, well, you know, tell me some things about the house. And the man told him, you know, how many rooms it had and it had carpet. There were expensive shrubs in the yard. He told about the fruit trees in the backyard and many other advantages and conveniences. He described the house in detail. And when he finished, the agent walked around the house, took notes, and said, look, I've got all the information. I'll give you a call before I post it. So the next day, the real estate agent called up the homeowner, and he read the ad. Beautiful three-bedroom home with two baths, a good stand of grass, fruit trees in the backyard, a new roof, central air conditioning, a remodeled carport for two cars. He kept going and reading on, and the man stopped and he said, wait a minute. Hold it. The house is not for sale. He said, all my life I've wanted a house like that. I didn't realize I had one until now. If you just sit down and thank God for all things and think about what God has given you. If you're married, if you have kids, your friends, think about all that God has given you. You just might realize that all your life you have just what you've been looking for. There are many other things to think about. Remember that thankfulness produces thankfulness. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. It is said that in Africa, there is a fruit called the taste berry. You ever heard of that? It's called the taste berry. It has that name because it changes a person's taste. For several hours, after one eats the taste berry, everything is sweet and delicious, even sour lemons. Gratitude is the taste berry of the Christian life. When we're truly thankful, even the bitter things of life taste sweet. In closing, let me say a word to anyone here who's not a Christian or anyone watching online. Think about all that God has given you. What is the best way to express your gratitude to such a wonderful Heavenly Father? The psalmist said, what shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits? Then he answers his own question. I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I'd like to encourage you, invite you to do that today. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, look to him and say, Lord, thank you for visiting us from heaven. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the penalty for my sin. Thank you for preparing a new life for me. I understand that if I put my trust in you, you'll give me your Holy Spirit. I need something. My life is empty. I want to encourage you to put your trust in Christ today. And then for those of us who've known the Lord for so long, learn thankfulness. We never stop learning that. Practice thankfulness. Some of you practice golf. Some of you practice pickleball. Practice thankfulness. It's not in our nature. We have to learn it. We have to get better at it. It doesn't come naturally. And then secondly, direct your thankfulness to God. Thirdly, give thanks to God for all things. You'll be amazed that when you thank God, even for the difficult things, the painful things, how God will change your heart. And then lastly, ask God to change the way you think. You know, that's why Scripture tells us, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's ask God to change our hearts and change the way we think. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful command to give thanks for all things. And thank you for giving us this wonderful promise. And we know that you always keep your promises. And so, Lord, we want to grasp onto that promise today, that you cause all things to work together for good to those who love you. And so, Lord, help us to love you. Forgive us, Lord, for ignoring you. Forgive us, Lord, for getting mad at you, for resenting you, for taking things for granted, for taking people for granted. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Give us grateful hearts. Teach us to be grateful. Remind us to look to you, to talk to you, and to read your word so that we can remember your wonderful commands and your wonderful promises. And make us, Lord, a grateful people. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to say, if you're here this morning, or if you're watching or listening online and you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus, now's your opportunity. Don't let it pass by. Let God change your life. Let God change you into a grateful, thankful, happy person. And you might say, I don't know what to say to God. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the penalty for my sin. I now receive you and trust you as my Savior and my King. And from now on, I'm going to live a grateful life. I'm not going to live a selfish life anymore. I'm going to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to be a part of your great kingdom. And I want to follow you into eternity, because I know that you've prepared a place for me. You've prepared a place for every person who trusts you and follows you. Thank you for this wonderful message. Thank you for your word, Lord. And thank you for your presence here this morning. And we give you praise and honor and thanks for both the good and the bad, the difficult and the painful. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.